What were some of the barriers that were actually listed in this report?
Lack of teacher knowledge and training, essentially, were one of the big barriers. And the report in 2019 also said that the number of special schools had actually risen over the last 10 years. So that would be from 2009 to 2019, so which is actually a sign that inclusion isn't happening.
Do we have an indication as how this boost in funding, this $1.6 billion, will be steered towards addressing these ones?
Not yet, John, but there is some a couple of announcements we made yesterday, which are rather interesting, one of which is that approximately $300 million is going to be spent on updating and improving special schools. So that's an interesting one.
Yeah, but we're also looking towards general public schools as well.
Absolutely. And we've not had any clarity yet. We know there are going to be, and this is just from what we know, 100 people called facilitators who are going to be basically making sure that the money has impact. And we also know that there's a pilot of 100 schools that's going to be happening. And there's been, there's going to be quite a few jobs created by the actual the money.
Well, that is obviously fantastic. You know, obviously somebody's got to be looking to see that these ones get spent correctly. But do we have a real indication as to how the process of making sure the facilitators themselves know and understand what they're doing will actually work?
We don't. It's really vague at the minute. Really is. So we're simply working on what we know so far. I mean, in principle, it's a really, I want to say straight away, this is a great announcement. The money will be very, very welcome. And again, ostensibly what we know is that this is to promote inclusion, which is great, because Australia is committed to that. All states, all territories are committed to that with the United Nations. We signed up for that, but there's no detail so far, apart from the $300 million. For special schools, we're going to make some money for special schools, and also we're going to have a number of staff created by to help facilitate the co-facilitators to actually make this happen in practice.
In terms of the lead up to this actual investment itself, have we seen a drive? Have we seen a lot of I guess people getting behind these kind of issues to try and bring them to the fore, to bring awareness to these issues prior to these kind of reports coming out?
Absolutely, we have. I spoke recently at the Disability Royal Commission and listened to the sad stories, but frankly horrendous stories I heard of students who spoke about what had happened to them in schools, mainly in Queensland, because the commission is based in Queensland, but we know this is happening in other places, South Australia, for example, and Victoria. There's been similar inquiries and commissions that have highlighted really poor experiences by kids with disabilities in schools, and all sorts of things happening like that. Now, obviously, the announcement is saying that the money will double the number of students receiving extra support to 55,000, but I think that part of the reason the money's there is because we are so far from inclusion, that there's a big distance to travel. I mean, for example, in Victoria and in other states too, we have what's called a segregated education system, where there are mainstream schools and then there's a special school sector, and that's obviously on top of in the public sector. And there's a thing called flexible learning options that's also been brought in, which is where kids end up being pushed out of the mainstream and into, for lots of reasons. And we know that kids with disabilities are overrepresented in that. Research colleagues and I have done. They're represented in that. And the worry about that is flexible learning options flow. The worry about that system, which is another kind of way of catching kids who have been pushed out of the mainstream, is that that's going to undercut and undermine inclusion happening in mainstream public schools. So again, the segregation, the special schools and segregated education systems, things like flexible learning options, which have a good purpose, you know, to catch kids that come out of being excluded from mainstream schools or simply walk out. They have good purposes, but all the time they are potentially undermining inclusion happening in our public schools because it means the system doesn't have to change. We don't have to basically change attitudes and behaviours in the main of teachers and principals in the mainstream system. So that is a concern.
And just as a final point, you mentioned the other states there, of course. Is there a real indication that other states will follow suit on Victoria's lead in this situation, or is it perhaps maybe a situation where other states will wait and see how this money is spent and the kind of results that come out of that before investing themselves?
You would hope that states would basically do it by looking at Victoria. They would just simply want to do it for their own reason because it's the right thing to do. However, this thing of states and territories looking at each other and making is a thing that does happen in policy in Australia because of the system over here. However, I think I hope that the money will have a positive impact and other states who are looking might change their decision making, and they will invest in greater inclusion for children with disabilities. That's a hope. As I say, though, some of the trends are kind of saying the other way, that the results driven impetus in policy, NAPLAN, and all the rest of it, and performance sort of led policy. So in schools, you know, looking at kids' attainment, all of that works against these processes of inclusion. And so we've got a contradiction kind of in policy. We've got these national policies, federal policies, things like NAPLAN, that we know are a driver for kids not being included quite often in many schools, in many schools. And then we've got local, you know, statewide initiatives, such as the one we're talking about right now, this money that Victoria is putting into its system, which are trying to promote inclusion. So we've got these mixed messages and things being pulled in different ways. And what we really need is we need a consistent drive for inclusion and not having things that are undermining inclusion or which provide an excuse for, you know, for schools and principals not to change those behaviours where kids are not given an inclusive education.
Well, it certainly seems to make a great deal of sense on the face of it, I would have to say, David. But thank you, Roach. Do appreciate you unpacking this one for us this morning.
A pleasure.